watching, I was looking at your supplement stack video. That's like immediately where I went on YouTube. And so naturally you do a lot of supplements, right? What do you find? What's your, like right now, do you go toward, like what's your whey protein at the moment? What do you use? Or like what company do you kind of stick to?
Yeah, I use HD Muscle for everything. And my supplements, it's funny, I was watching that video yesterday and that was from prep last year. I'm like, that was a lot. I was taking a lot of supplements at the time. And granted, you do on prep. So in off season, it's a lot more like straightforward, like multivitamin, kidney, liver.
Yeah.
You know, and then like protein. So I do all that through HD Muscle.
Well, that's all. It's, but it's cool though, because you probably have, you know, more obviously about the supplement brands that work. Cause you know, when you go to like a GNC or some shit, you always have the proprietary stuff. You got the usual types that you go for, but is there something in particular you look for when you're going into building your stack when you first started?
I mean, over time it's definitely like changed what I look for in supplements, but
yeah,
I like for instance that HD will break down all the products so you don't see blends like that. And then we'll do a lot of education around the supplements. So as athletes for them, we get a little bit more education on the front end about what goes into the products and, you know, how they're sourcing them and the dosages and things like that, which is just helpful, because instead of it just being marketed by like a body, you know, you actually have some science to back it up.
You sound like a wine sommelier for like supplements. I can see you going to like the refinery or something where they create it and they put it in like a wine glass or some shit. And you're like sniffing it and you're like, yes, I hints of vanilla and oak in this one.
Right.
Yes.
You know, but we all come from the cheap like Walmart protein back in the day. So it's just an evolution over time.
Which is like, as far as taste goes, and I don't know if you agree with this, but the Equate brand protein from Walmart has a damn good taste. For like just a cheap ass chocolate whey protein, it tastes really good. It does. And it's like $15. It's for like 30 servings. It's crazy. I don't know. It just makes me realize how so many things are oversold. Like just the price is way too high. And then you go to Walmart, you're like, this Equate shit is the way to go. I'm just sticking with this. I don't care what kind of fillers are in it. I'm doing it. So,
I mean, a lot of those old, like, there's old videos, bodybuilding on a budget, and it's, I say old, it's probably from like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to see what building on a budget would look like. And it's like, yeah, you just go buy like a bunch of rice, like a bunch of cheap chicken.
Yeah.
And some Walmart protein. Like, if that's what you can do, you make it happen.
I think that's the way anybody should really go down that fitness route. If they want to get into, you know, your kind of lifestyle where you're a competitor and everything, you think that's mainly how you do it? You just buy in bulk, you get the staples, you get the, you know, the rice, the chicken, all the standard stuff.
Yeah, I think in a way, as you get more advanced, it gets simpler, not just because you get better at it, but because you're not trying to make it all something it's not. Like when I started lifting, everyone was into if it fits your macros, and like, people still enjoy that. And I think that there is some use in it. But what I saw a lot was it wouldn't really matter the quality of the food that you're getting. And it's all about enjoying it and it tasting good. It could be like literal crap as long as it tasted good. And then down the line, it's like my food choices have just gotten so much simpler because it's more driven by what I feel I need, like my body needs, versus trying to make everything taste good or, you know, make every meal unique so you're not feeling like you're eating the same thing every day.
Well, that's pretty cool. That's like, man, I imagine that's where anybody wants to get. You know, they literally understand their body to the point where they know what needs to come next, I guess. But I can't do, do you like do any seasoning on your food, or are you pretty hardcore with like bland?
I'm all about seasoning. Okay. Like I will spend so much at Trader Joe's like every month just on my like seasoning cabinet. Yeah. So
is that where you usually go to? You do Trader Joe's for the most part?
I think grocery shopping is a hobby for me. So I really like to wander.
Where should people go to grocery shit? Should they just stick with just the usual shit like Walmart and Sam's Club or something? Or is there other places like Trader Joe's that have a decent selection?
So I think it depends on how, how much you're trying to get into it, like where you're starting, what are you coming from? Because if you
That's
come
interesting.
from fast food, then I would say, yeah, start at Walmart. Like start at something that's cheap. You can get it. It's convenient because you're getting it all at one place. But then as you get more advanced or even just start to look at the health aspect more, I like grass-fed beef and like free-range chickens and things like that. So I may be going to Walmart for some basics like frozen veggies or something, but then when it comes to my meat, I'll go somewhere like we have Central Market in Texas or like a Whole Foods or something where you can get grass-fed.
How does I seriously don't know the difference, but like, how does is grass fed taste better, or is it just you get it because nutritionally it's better, or both?
Nutritionally, it's better, right? I mean, what you build your body off of, it expresses itself. And then same with
I
the
like that.
cows and what they're eating. If they're just being fed to get fat, like the quality of the meat is not very good. Whereas if they're actually naturally grazing, it's a lot higher quality. So you have better fats in the meat, and that's really important for cardiovascular health. Something we, as you get more advanced and really get deeper into the sport, you have to pay attention to.
I see. I didn't know that. Well, that's cool. That's cool. What about beef-fed beef? What if they? No, that's
Oh,
my joke
carnivorous
there.
beef.
Carnivore. Yeah. What if they just
Yeah,
fed them beef and they're like, now you have double beef? And I imagine all the
know.
bodybuilders would
Wow.
jump on that bandwagon and be like, hell yes. Give me some
Oh
of that
yeah,
double
like
beef. Yeah.
protein squared. We heard about it.
Fuck yeah. Yeah, there you go. That's the new marketing strategy that people are going to have to pay me for now. So, but no, it's just there's my joke of the podcast right there. But yeah, no, that's really cool. I didn't know the difference between the grass-fed beef and regular beef because I've heard so many people talk about it. A lot of people have been recommending that for me, but I just never understood the benefits behind it. So that's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
But as far as like, what do you do with, like, are you getting ready for a competition right now? Or are you in the off season?
I'm in off season. So I was getting ready for a show I was going to do in July, and then I decided not to continue with prep. I really want to do physique, so go up a class, and I will need to grow quite a bit in order to do that. So just wanted to jump in and get started.
So you're in Texas. You guys have the Summer Shredding Classic, right?
That is the
Or is
summer
that
shredding
that's
is
Florida?
with Alphalete.
That's Alpha. Yeah, that's Guzman. Yeah, I think
Yeah,
he's.
so they that is like their own show. It doesn't run through like one of the official federations.
I didn't know that. So it's
Yeah.
not attached to MPC or anything.
Right.
I didn't know
So
that. Oh wow, okay.
I wanted to do it last year. I thought about it, but I was like, well, I don't really want to try to peak for a show that doesn't really count towards anything, even though it would be really fun.
I didn't know that. I had no clue. So basically, it's like it. So for people like you who are super experienced and everything, it's not worth it really because it there's no step above once you do something at that show, right?
Yeah.
Wow. That
It
is
would
news
be
to
more
me.
of a social. Like a social strategy, I think, just because Alphalete's a big brand. So if you can get exposure through their channels, like that would be a good reason to go do that.
Well, it's
But
the that social media clout, I guess. It's just got the name behind it, I imagine, you know.
right.
So,
And it just reaches a different audience. Like the people who are following Alphalete aren't going to be the same people who are like deep in bodybuilding as a sport. Most likely.
So it'll appeal to guys like me who skip leg day. That'll be good. I'll get up there, get my Planet Beach tan on and be like, I'm here. So yeah, but no, that's the I had heard about it. You know, my buddy loves Christian Guzman and he's like, oh dude, Summer Shredding Classic, and was like, bro, it's probably just it's just a bunch of Maybe first timers and people off Instagram trying to look good. I don't know. It doesn't appeal to people like you who are
Yeah.
in the system. So, do you have plans to do the Olympia at some point?
That would be the goal for sure. I mean, I am a pro, but I have not competed as a pro, so I'll definitely need to, earn my legs a little bit on the pro stage and then kind of see if I compete next year or the year after that, how I place and go from there.
And tell me this, it's definitely like a real learning curve going from like non-pro to novice to pro, right? Because I know some of the competitors here, like I'm in Louisiana, and they look great and everything, but once they got their pro card, the learning curve was so steep, they didn't get anywhere. And like the pro realm, like they never place, they try their hardest, but it's weird. It's like they could do so well in the NPC shows locally, but then the pro stage is just a whole nother world.
Yeah, and there's a lot of discussion around that. If you talk to older bodybuilders, and not even older, I mean, this has all really changed in the last couple of years. It's a lot easier to get your pro card now than it used to be. So the doors are wide open. There's people getting pro cards at shows because there's just not a lot of competition, or they're awarding pro cards to several places. Like it's often multiple people in a class as opposed to just one spot overall. So more people are
Interesting.
getting pro cards. So then it's like there's a larger discrepancy between like the average amateur coming in as a pro and like an experienced pro. So you're just not seeing those people excel after that point because they just weren't weeded out earlier, I guess. I hate to say it like that, but that's where it kind of funnels.
Do you think it has to do with maybe a marketing perspective, like just with after COVID and everything, they're finding a way to, I guess, get more people involved in the sport. So they're handing out more cards just to increase participation.
It could be that. I mean, I heard this discussion farther back than that, but I think there's probably a lot of factors. I think that they probably get a little bit more engagement and interest in the sport in general if it seems more attainable. Plus people have to pay for their pro card. So like once you get your pro card, you like pay to renew it. So that's a little extra
Oh,
money coming
interesting.
in. There's just a lot of things.
Have you seen somebody up there where you look at them and you're like, there is no way you got your pro card? Is
Yeah, it's
that
really
really?
amazing.
Oh,
And
really? Oh, cool. I figure maybe,
yeah, but I mean, to me, it's like, again, everyone will be filtered down at some point, and only the best of the best make it to the Olympia. So a lot of people are frustrated that so many people can get their pro card because it dilutes what it means. But
For
I
sure.
think if you look at it like you know what you earned, you know what you brought, and then advance as far as you can, you'll get farther than those people who really just kind of slipped in.
But you got to imagine that would be funny if they just skipped one guy, like he just sort of slid through the cracks, and he's like a real tubby dude, and he's got his pro card for some reason. They just missed him. That would be great. That'd be awesome. I'd love
Like,
to see
how
that.
did you get
How
here?
did you get here? It's like, oh, I just, I kept my body under wraps until now. I'd love to see that. That would be just the funniest thing ever. But no, also too, just looking at, I'm kind of veering off course, but I was looking at your Instagram and everything. The results you get out of the people you work with is fucking incredible. Just saying. Like it's amazing the results you get out of the people you work with. So,
Thank
I mean,
you.
it's pretty crazy, 'cause I know what tends to be the first thing that you deal with when somebody comes to you? Is there a particular type of mindset you deal with when they come to you?
Man, I'm not sure if it's a particular mindset, but I think what most people struggle with, I think not having accountability is kind of an overarching factor. Like, people just don't know how to be accountable to themselves. And I think that's okay. But I think that what I'm seeing is people go to a coach in order to have some form of accountability when we don't have that within our social groups.
Oh,
Just
interesting.
kind of interesting. Like, if you're not around people who are very much into fitness, you kind of lose that accountability. And I think that's a huge thing, is people just don't realize how much their environment is affecting them and how much just changing who they're around can really help their habits.
I like that you said that too, because man, it just seems like the easiest solution to maintaining long-term progress. Because if you're not, you're right. If you replace your environment, you don't have a supportive environment, then all of the weight falls on you to uplift them and keep them going. And it's not worth it in the end, you know?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Jeez. Do you feel like has it ever come down to, like you have to choose the type of clients that you know are going to work best with you?
I've gone back and forth with being a little bit more picky. What I've found is a lot of times people weed themselves out.
That's
It's like,
for real. Yeah.
I try to give really realistic expectations from the start, because there's things that people will come in saying or doing previously that are red flags as to their ability to focus on a goal.
Yeah.
But I think it's always worth giving someone a chance, and I can teach them as much as I can in the time that I have with them, that maybe just added one more piece of the puzzle for them to start working on their goals. Even if, they're 3 weeks in and they're like, "You know what? I decided I want to be a marathon runner." And they want to go train for that. It's like, that's okay. Maybe they got something out of the 3 weeks that they needed. So that's really how I approach it, is don't let it frustrate me, because I know it's not about me, but also just give as much as you can to them in that time that you have them.
That's
And
awesome.
you'll kind of, the people who are in this for real stick around. So I don't really limit people right now. As long as they have a good attitude and they're willing to meet me in the middle on the requirements.
Sure. Yeah, but that's so cool, because basically, you are always taking on the burden of like trying to help them out no matter what. So for any new trainer who listens to this, it's going to be eye-opening, because you know that it is about service at the end of the day. So yeah, it's cool. I actually have not heard that, So that's awesome.
Yeah, I think nursing kind of taught me that. You're taking care of people who don't really want to take care of themselves. So you can either be frustrated by that or exactly treat it as service. Like, everything that you're doing in life should be some kind of service. And it's not up to you to determine how long that's for or whether or not they accept it.
So you're a nurse. I think I actually found you on LinkedIn randomly. So I like everybody I interview, I check their social medias and all that stuff, and try to learn as much as I can. But no, you're on LinkedIn, and I was like, oh, she's a nurse. That's so cool. So that's like your job currently, your career.
I actually left nursing last year, to do coaching full time.
Nice. Yeah, that would be,
Yeah,
Jesus, that would be
so
hell if you kept that up, both of those. My God.
yeah, and even though I was able to balance the coaching and nursing, it is very physically taxing to be a nurse, and it can be really hard from a recovery standpoint and just a time standpoint, with like 12-hour shifts, trying to train around that and, actually be able to eat through the day. It all becomes a really challenging balance.
This brings up a good question, though. So many I've talked with so many, like a lot of my friends are nurses, and they don't know how to maintain a diet or a workout plan while they deal with their 12-hour shift. How did you do it?
I would do my days back to back
Okay.
and just plan on not getting a ton of sleep on those days. So like during prep, I worked night shift.
Okay.
So I would work 7 p. to like 8 a. And if I would usually do my cardio before the shift, cardio and train before that first shift,
Jeez.
work, sleep a few hours, go get up and go do cardio, go in again, but take it as a training rest day. So I end up doing my rest days back to back.
Okay.
So that's how I managed training. And then I did, I mean, diet wise, I would literally pack things in like Ziploc baggies and keep them in one of my, two dozen pockets I have,
Sure.
and just sneak them in the bathroom. I'm not gonna lie, like you just have to do it. You can't expect to get breaks.
I love that though. No, that's because genuinely I was curious because like literally that is the question of questions with people who are nurses. I get it like everybody, and so interesting. So you really do because I'm yeah, you don't get breaks. So you just got to do it whenever and you got to be discreet about it. Wow. So if you
Yeah.
so did you pack away anything way too messy that like melted or something and you're like, oh shit, no, I can't
Was
not good.
into sardines for a bit,
I love
and like
sardines.
I
I
would.
love sardines. Nobody gets it, but I feel you. I get it.
Thank
You're
you.
welcome.
I know everyone thinks it's so gross, and I would wrap them in a tortilla, and I like had that, and then like I got called, so I like had that in my pocket still, but I kept like reaching in for pins, and there's just like this sardine tortilla mush. I'm like, oh my God.
Well, this, totally the problem I ran into. Would people know that people had to have known you ate sardines? Because that was my thing. When I was like working as a grad assistant or whatever, I'd have the sardines and people would know down the hall. They would yell at me and go, "You had sardines." And I was like, "Jesus Christ."
Oh yeah. I've always been that person. Like I heated up fish in the
Okay.
work microwave. Everyone smelled it. Or like in the dorm, I
Yeah.
would cook in my room. So I'd cook broccoli and like the entire floor would smell like broccoli. I just accepted early on. That's just my life.
Yeah, but no, I mean, it brings up a good point that sardines are not often thought of, but quick protein. My God, like it's such a quick solution. I love them. Yeah.
Yeah, they're great. You get a lot of calcium, B12. They have like good fats. They're a really great source of lots of nutrients we don't get very often. So,
Yeah, no,
and
for
they're good. You just
they
gotta
are.
get over mentally that you're crushing up their bodies.
Yeah, but I mean, I imagine some people do, but I've loved it. It's like every time I find it fascinating. You're eating like a little fish. Like you're eating a fish. It's really interesting. So, no, but no, that's really cool. I love that you did that, but that's a good piece of advice. And then well, what about sleep though? So you just had to accept that you were not gonna sleep. You just really you kind of had no choice in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, in prep, I don't sleep a lot anyways.
Yeah.
So it was honestly kind of helpful. I was up already, so I just got to start working instead of laying around wondering why I can't sleep. But it's also nice that it's 3 days typically, those kind of schedules. So I would just use those days back to back as rest days. And that would be like 5 hours of sleep between maybe. But being rest days, it's like you're not taxed as much. You're not needing to recover from a workout. So it's just using the resources that you have and not worrying about, is everything in my life set up for perfect conditions?
Yeah.
Like no one has perfect conditions, and the people who are closest to perfect are like top one and two in the world, because they literally,
It's their
that's their
life.
job.
Yeah.
They don't do anything else, and they structure their lifestyle to be successful in this. So until you can do that, work with what you have and try not to use things as excuses. If you have a good amount of time and if it's something that you want to do, like dive in and do it all the way.
Yeah, and I agree with that because I imagine that's the flaw with fitness nowadays is that well, maybe not fitness, just people's perception of it is that they think they have to give their lives to it, and that it has to be this massive thing they got to focus on, and then they just fall off the rails a couple weeks down the line, you know, or a month in. So, yeah, it's
Yeah,
pretty.
and I think people don't, I don't know. I think that people don't keep their goals in focus very well.
Okay.
And
I agree. Yeah.
I think it's important to, I think that's one reason working with a coach can be really helpful is just to have someone like having you check in again with your goals. And if your goals shift, that's fine. But know that they shifted and then like adjust course towards them.
You mentioned earlier too, somebody saying like, has somebody shifted their goal just like crazy to a whole nother area? You're like talking to somebody, they're like, I'm gonna go train to be a fencer. I'm like, what? You should have mentioned that.
Oh yeah, I mean it's interesting the people that you'll run into because
Yeah.
everyone's so different, you
Oh,
know,
so
but
true.
it's funny when you start to notice some patterns in people and you can kind of pick up early on, oh, this is going to be one of those people
Yeah.
who just cannot keep focus on whatever it is they're doing. But
Yeah.
you know, it's like keep them focused as long as they can. And also don't accept that your goal is someone else's goal. Like my goal is to be the best athlete I can be. And if I look at someone else like that and they're telling me that they're 97% on plan because they had three cheat meals, I'm like, are you, what are you, like that doesn't make sense. But like for them, that's way better than their baseline. So you
And
just have to be realistic with yourself about other people's ability or other people's even degree of focus on this particular goal.
yeah, no, for real. What do you I get I'm guessing you do one cheat meal a week, or how, or do you not cheat at all when you're preparing?
Right now, I have the option to have a cheat meal every other week. So I have been doing that. I am not a huge fan of cheat meals anymore just because I find that I think a little bit like my job, bodybuilding, whatever, it makes me focus on food a lot just because I have to have my meals at certain times. I have to take the time to prepare them and, you know, any changes in food, the food is directly affecting my body, so I'm having to pay attention. So I find that using cheat meals sometimes can just enhance that focus on food. And
That's a
so
good,
I
yeah.
like to just try to keep things as consistent as possible so it's not playing any more of a part in my life.
So it really is something that, so it can be something that is easily controlled, is what you're saying. It's not too close. It's just spaced out far enough so that, you know, you know what it's there for, you know what to expect from it. It doesn't rule your life.
Yeah, exactly. And it doesn't become emotional. You know, it's not like, oh, well, I eat well on the week, so I can like have this binge on the weekend.
Well, it could be emotional if you have like a really good burger and it's just a beautiful burger. I mean,
Oh, yeah. That is
that
emotionally charged.
maybe it's yeah, maybe it's a meal that's just so damn good you have to cry. Like I just yeah, different kind of emotion involved there. But no, what do you usually go for when you do a cheat meal? Are you just go for the, like what I said, a nice burger, or are you kind of like Sour Patch Kids or something?
No, I'm with you. I'm with you on the burger. And
Okay.
then I always do some Ben and Jerry's ice cream.
That's a good choice, actually. That's really good. Jesus, that's
I'm
awesome.
kind of like, I could go without the food because I do enjoy my food that I make, you know? I could go without that if I can just have dessert. Like that's out of it.
So, man, but yeah, good choice there. The Ben and Jerry's, is that's the way to go. Totally off topic, but there was a video. You know the bodybuilder like Juan Morell, I think is his name. He did
Yeah.
like a 12,000 calorie day thing, and he ate a full carton of like brownie ice cream or something. I mean, that's insane. But
Oh my
he did that. He
gosh.
ate a full carton, and I'm like, I get it. The dude's a well-known pro and everything, but man, it's shoot, I it's crazy. Like his cheat day was like 12,000 calories. So it's weird. It just differs. You got people like you who understand where it falls, but then there's people like him. Are there other like female bodybuilders that would do like change up the way they approach a cheat day?
Yeah, and I think it goes through phases for a lot of us. Like when I used to have cheat meals, it was like an all out,
Yeah.
eat whatever I want, like all day long. And it's just gotten better over time because I've become more objective about it.
Yeah.
So I think like we all go through phases where, cheat meals mean different things. Now I try to use them more so to connect with people. So it's a date night or it's a family event where we're all having dinner together. Like it's about the experience. It's about being a human and connecting with other people.
Yeah.
And it's not so much about trying to stuff my face or like get a massive dopamine release.